Good morning, this is London. I'll be reading today's Herald and Review. The date is Tuesday, February 20th, 2018. We're going to begin on the front page for part one, a unique one-stop shop. This comes to us out of Decatur, is submitted by Ryan Voiles for the Herald and Review. Distinct Speakeasy offers records, furniture, and tattoo. Brian Abbott said he knows it's risky operating a unique, even kitschy, sort of business in Decatur. But where else could someone find a one-stop shop for vinyl records, furniture, or a tattoo? On one hand, it may seem really bold because it's like, well, how's this going to fly in Decatur? But on the other hand, it's not like we have a lot of competition here, said Abbott, one of the three owners of the building and main proprietor of Speakeasy Records and Oddities. The business is approaching its one-year anniversary at 530 North Water Street, the site of the former Rupert's Sport Shop, slightly off the beaten path, north of downtown's main shopping and dining district. Three businesses have opened in the space since April, and a coffee shop. The River Coffee Company could be open by the end of the month, Abbott said. Abbott, 50, operates the record store while Jesse Blunt is the second owner of the building and operates Tried and True Tattoo. The other business is R:Din. That was capital R:Din, capital D-I-N. R:Din Studios, which sells mid-century modern furniture that capture the iconic look of chairs, couches, and other decor from the 1950s. The studio, which opened late last year, is operated by Shane Whitaker and is open on Saturday with flexible Friday hours. The unique nature of the business caught the attention of Dale Bradford, who said even if he cannot find what he's looking for, there's something about the name and the culture of the store that just speaks to you. "I want a piece of all of it," said Bradford, who was shopping with his wife on Saturday. "Even if you don't buy anything, you've had a good time. I'll be back." The business partnership began several years ago when Blunt, 35, was still operating Tried and True Tattoo in the southwestern part of Decatur. He was looking for a business partner to provide a retail element to the business, and he did not have to look much farther than his tattoo chair. One of his clients was Abbott, and the two connected through a mutual love of tattoos and music. Abbott and his friend Jeff Klebe, the third owner of the current building, brought some of their old vinyl records to Blunt's business and began to sell them there. That venture led to further discussions about buying a place and setting up business close to downtown Decatur. Along with the chance to take up shop in the landmark Rupert's Sport Shop that he visited often while growing up, Blunt said he felt a connection to the location. "It was a building that's downtown, but not really perceived as being downtown," he said. "It's a nice parallel with tattoos. It's an art form that's not always seen as an art form. It's a nice fit for me and a nice fit for all of us." While the tattoo business is focused more on custom or classic work by appointment, the record store welcomes anyone who wants to thumb through the hundreds of records for sale. In addition to cassettes, CDs, record players, and more kitschy items like a collection of action figures from the Masters of the Universe franchise. On Saturday, 14-year-old Nicholas McKay browsed through the records, hoping to find a copy of Michael Jackson's Thriller album, released by the King of Pop in 1982. The family stops by the store on occasion as their son has taken a liking to collecting classic rock albums from bands such as AC/DC and Metallica on vinyl record, said his mother, Angela McKay. "We got him a few records for Christmas, but we wanted him to come in here and pick out what he wants," she said. "We spent an hour and a half looking through everything." Abbott said business has been steady in the past year, even as the main form of marketing has come from word of mouth. The hope, Abbott said, is that having a large, dedicated coffee shop near downtown will help bring in more foot traffic and provide something he said is currently missing in the downtown area. There is still space for expansion, Abbott said, with 2,000 square feet still unused on the second floor. Work still needs to be done to refurbish the upstairs area, but Abbott said one day it could be used as space for artists or something else that will fit the vibe of the business. Along with the unique blend of businesses, what makes each one special for Blunt is how personal they are to their operators. We continue to preserve the things we care about even as the world changes around us, he said. And now I'll give you a listing of the hours. Speakeasy Records and Oddities combines with Tried and True Tattoo and Our Den Studios to offer a unique one-stop shop in Decatur at 530 North Water Street. Speakeasy, open 10 a.m. to 5:30 p.m., Tuesday through Saturday. Tried and True Tattoo, by appointment. Our Den Studios, 10 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. on Saturdays. That concludes that article. Also on the front page, our next article is going to be Madigan Parts Ways with Second Operative. This is submitted by Ray Long and Monique Garcia from the Chicago Tribune. Inappropriate behavior by volunteer is cited. For the second time in a week, Illinois House Speaker Michael Madigan has parted ways with a top lieutenant in his Democratic political organization, this time citing inappropriate behavior by a volunteer toward a candidate and staff during a 2016 campaign. While Madigan's statement did not name the operative, sources familiar with the circumstances confirmed that it is Shaw Dekremer. Democratic State Representative Deb Conroy and several other staffers approached Madigan within the last week with complaints about Dekremer's behavior, one of the sources said. Reached late Monday, Conroy declined to detail the behavior, saying she is focused on moving forward. In this case, it was an abuse of power. That's all there is to it. It is not sexual harassment per se. I guess it's harassment, but I feel like it's been handled from my perspective, said Conroy, a three-term lawmaker from Villa Park. We changed the culture by calling out the bullies, by saying this behavior is not acceptable and it needs to change. Dekremer is a capital lobbyist whose client list includes ComEd, Dish Network, and the Illinois State Medical Society. He's a one-time House Democratic governor. I'm sorry, he's also a one-time House Democratic government and campaign staffer, entrusted with some of the Speaker's most important races over the years. He could not be reached for comment on Monday. Madigan's latest move comes after he cut ties last week with political operative Kevin Quinn, an announcement the Speaker made hours after the Chicago Tribune interviewed campaign worker Elena Hampton, who shared text messages that detailed a relentless series of romantic entreaties from Quinn, her supervisor. Madigan, who has weathered tens of millions of dollars in political attacks by Governor Bruce Rauner and Tribune investigations into how the Speaker's public and political interests have intersected over the years, now finds himself dealing with a burgeoning misconduct scandal involving longtime loyalists. On Friday, Madigan sent a letter to House Democrats saying he takes responsibility for failing to ensure equality in the State House and on the campaign trail. We must do better. We will do better, he wrote. Over the weekend, Madigan, who doubles as Illinois Democratic chairman, sent a second letter to the party's State Central Committee. He said U.S. Representative Cherry Bustos of Moline, Illinois, Comptroller Susana Mendoza of Chicago, and State Representative Carol Ammons of Urbana would take the lead on facilitating a statewide discussion about the role of women in the Democratic Party of Illinois. On Monday, the state senator Daniel Biss, a Democratic governor candidate, said Madigan should immediately resign as party chairman. Last week, Democratic Governor hopeful Chris Kennedy said Madigan should temporarily step aside as party chairman while an investigation is conducted. Madigan's Monday statement did not address the specifics of the allegations made against Dekramer. Last week, I was advised of inappropriate behavior by a volunteer toward a candidate and staff during the 2016 election. I quickly made sure the individual had no participation in any activities my committees are involved in. I offered to refer the matter to outside counsel, and that offer was declined, the statement read. The complainant and I met with the individual, and the complainant assured me that the situation had been appropriately resolved. The individual will no longer be involved with any activities of my political committees. Madigan went on to say he does not tolerate inappropriate behavior or abuse of any kind, and remains committed to ensuring all individuals can do their work without fear of harassment, abuse, or retaliation. Dekramer, 43, is an operative who developed a lucrative lobbying practice after leaving the House Democratic staff following the 2012 election. In 2016, Dekramer and his wife paid the $1.1 million asking price for a house in the Ravenswood Manor neighborhood. Recently, Dekramer and Madigan were sued by Jason Gonzalez, who unsuccessfully challenged the Speaker for Illinois House in the March 2016 primary election. Gonzalez accused Madigan's operation of fielding two other phony candidates to dilute any anti-Madigan vote. Gonzalez said that Dekramer was waiting at the State Elections Board in late 2015, and when the operative saw Gonzalez file his petitions, Dekramer filed for the two other candidates who did not actively campaign. That does conclude that article. I'm reading a few briefs from the Herald and Review. State Sexual Harassment Hotline. Out of Chicago, the Illinois Department of Human Rights has set up a new hotline for victims of sexual harassment. Callers can report sexual harassment through the toll-free number and also receive information on counseling and legal services. The Sexual Harassment Hotline call center can be reached Monday through Friday from 8:30 a.m. until 5 p.m., and the telephone number is 877-236-7703. Next, fishing licenses on sale March 1st. Out of Springfield, the Illinois Department of Natural Resources says state fishing licenses for the year go on sale March 1st. The agency says 2018 annual fishing licenses for Illinois residents cost $15 and are good until March 31st, 2019. Money from the license fees is used to support fishing programs, habitat enhancement, and production of sport fish at state hatcheries. People younger than 16 do not need to have a license. Adults need a license. Free fishing is available for the blind and disabled. Discounted licenses are available for those age 65 and older and qualifying resident veterans. Fishing is free for everyone during the 2018 Illinois Free Fishing Days during Father's Day weekend. And a brief out of Decatur, assailant sentenced to 4 years. A Decatur man who police said choked, beat, and struck his girlfriend with a hammer in an ordeal that went on for hours has been sentenced to 4 years in prison. Reginald Pritchett, Jr., 24, appeared in Macon County Circuit Court February 6th and pleaded guilty to a charge of aggravated domestic battery, a Class 2 felony. 12 other charges, ranging from unlawful restraint to battery, were dropped as part of a plea deal negotiated by Pritchett's defense attorney, Tiffany Singer. A sworn police affidavit from the time of the battery, which dates to November 25th, said the 26-year-old girlfriend had been attacked in her trailer home in the 3700 block of East William Street. The assault had been triggered after she told Pritchett she had cheated on him because he had been cheating on her, the document said. Pritchett's prison sentence is to be followed by a 4-year period of mandatory supervised release. He was also fined $200 and ordered to pay court costs. That concludes the briefs. And now moving into the state and local, we have an article titled, Quinn Calls for Utility Rate Cuts. This is out of the Attorney General race, is submitted by Tom Lacey of the Herald and Review, and comes to us from Decatur. Attorney General candidate and former Governor Pat Quinn, known for elaborate public messages over the decades to draw attention to Illinois political issues, on Monday made a campaign stop in Decatur to bang the drum on a familiar Quinn topic, keeping utility companies in check. In the pouring rain outside Decatur's Ameren, Illinois offices, the Democrat called for big utility companies to reimburse customers based on smaller federal tax bills for corporations that arose in Washington in December. Ameren and other big utilities owe it to their ratepayers to return the windfall they got from Donald Trump's corporate tax breaks, Quinn said, who lost a re-election to GOP Governor Bruce Rauner in 2014. Tucker Kennedy, a spokesman for Ameren, Illinois, said the company approached the Illinois Commerce Commission about passing on savings from the tax cut to customers as quickly as possible. We are passing the entirety of the corporate tax rate cuts back to our customers starting March, Kennedy said. Quinn is facing a crowded field of 7 candidates in the Democratic primary race to become the chief legal officer in the state. Election day for all primary races in Illinois is March 20th, and early voting has already started. Republicans in Congress and President Donald Trump slashed corporate tax rates from 35% to 21% in December, effective this year. In January, the company said it filed a petition with the Illinois Commerce Commission to pass savings to customers as a result of the new corporate tax rate. Kennedy said that filing was approved February 6th. Ameren, Illinois electric customers will save an average of $2.50 to $3 per month in 2018. Quinn pushed his credentials on Monday as an activist for utility consumers, going back to 1984, when he helped form the Citizen Utility Board. Quinn is running against Scott Drury, Sharon Fairley, Aaron Goldstein, Renato Mariotti, Kwame Raoul, Nancy Rottering, and Jesse Ruiz in the primary. The GOP candidates are Gary Grasso and Erica Harold. There's 29 days to go until the election, 58 if you don't sleep, so I'm not planning to sleep, Quinn said. In his decades of involvement in state politics, Quinn has served as governor, state treasurer, and lieutenant governor. If he was successfully elected to attorney general, Quinn would have served in 4 out of 6 state constitutional offices. The attorney general, to me, should not be political. You should always be on the sides of taxpayers and consumers, and call them as you, Quinn said. I think there was a mistake there by the Herald and Review. Incumbent Lisa Madigan, a Democrat, is not running for a 5th term. And that does complete that article. Continuing in state and local, our next article is SIU Museum Reopens. This comes to us from Janice Esch out of the Herald and Review News Service. University Museum had closed in July due to budget impasse. This comes out of Carbondale. According to new curator of exhibits West Strager, University Museum is much more than an art gallery. We are an everything museum, he said. We have a large ethnography collection. We have a geology collection. We have everything. The museum's 70,000 artifacts at Southern Illinois University at Carbondale have been inaccessible to the region since the facility shuttered in July due to the state budget impasse. Its closure prompted an outcry from the university community. Former student workers drove several hours just to lay flowers outside the museum's doors. But Chancellor Carlo Montemagno announced the museum would reopen at his State of the University address in September, and as of last week, it's finally back up and running, at least in part. The museum's South Gallery is currently under construction, but enormous steel sculptures by Alden Addington, slated for display before the museum's closure, now line the atrium gallery. The larger Mitchell Gallery currently features large-scale oil paintings by Larry Bernstein, a professor emeritus of art and design. Curator of collections Susanna Munson, who maintained the museum's collection throughout the closure, said July was a difficult time. "It was hard and a little depressing, having to undo everything and put everything away," Munson said. Steiger, an SIUC alumnus, is no stranger to the museum. He worked as a volunteer for exhibits as an undergraduate and as a graduate assistant under Munson in the archive. "I had spent a lot of time working here. I was pretty connected to the museum, and it was, I don't want to say heartbreaking, but it was pretty devastating to see that this institution that had been around for so long and was so important got shut down," Steiger said. The museum, previously part of the College of Liberal Arts, is now under the Library Affairs umbrella. Pam Hackbart-Dean, Director of Special Collections, is overseeing the museum until a director is hired. "Having been a student here, Steiger was able to hit the ground running, and having Susanna already here to be able to work with him, we would not have been able to do it without the two of them working together," Hackbart-Dean said. Because of his familiarity with the museum's archive, Steiger was quickly able to put together the Afghan Treasures exhibit, culled from the collection of artifacts from Afghanistan. In March 2017, the museum was stripped of its accreditation status through the American Alliance of Museums as a result of cuts stemming from the state budget impasse. It had held the distinction since 1977. "Unfortunately, we have to start at the beginning of the whole process, but because we've been accredited and have gone through the accreditation process a number of times, we have a lot of resources, we know what needs to be done, we have a lot of examples of what we've done in the past to deal with that, to not only gain but keep our accreditation for those 40 years," Munson said. "It will take 2 to 3 years before the museum can begin the accreditation process, and then the process itself will take a couple of years," Munson said. "We'd like to get back to the point where people can see us as an arts destination and pillar in this community," Steiger said. "Once the museum is fully open and running like normal, it will host as many as 25 exhibits each year, keeping things fresh for visitors. There's not another museum like this in Southern Illinois. It's extremely unique, even outside of Southern Illinois," Steiger said. University Museum is open from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m., Tuesday through Friday, from 1 to 4 p.m. on Saturday. A reopening reception will be held on March 8th. And that concludes that article. Next, we have an article titled "Artists' Auction Supports Old King's Orchard Program," submitted by Donette Beckett for the Herald and Review and comes to us out of Decatur. Old King's Orchard Spark, and Spark is spelled with all capital letters, has teamed with Downtown Decatur's Art Farm to help raise money for the Children's Art Program at the Community Center. 4 pieces of art can be bid on during a silent auction from today through Saturday, February 24th, at the Art Farm, 252 North Park Street. Visitors can submit bids throughout the week. It might require many trips, art farm owner Peggy Beatty said. The four pieces of art were donated to the fundraiser, including a sculpture by Carla Brinkotter, the originator of the event. She offered the piece and told me to sell it, auction it off, or whatever you want, but it was to help a local arts organization, Beatty said, and I would always lean towards helping children. Other artists include Spark instructors Lucy Brownlee and Jesse Blunt, as well as Diana Manning, one of the artists featured at the art farm. The auction features a mock-up sheet of artistic tattoo designs, hand-painted vintage set of dinner napkins and napkin rings, seashell art, and a polymer clay statue. Brownlee donated her art before Beatty knew she was associated with Spark. I was selling stuff there at the art farm, Brownlee said. She did not know I had anything to do with Spark. Brownlee and the Spark sponsors said they are thankful for the support. The program is new to the community and Old King's Orchard, which hopes to establish it as an important art program for area youth. The end goal is to motivate an interest in the arts, Brownlee said. We see the kids being exposed to new stuff they would not have been before. Spark allows local students to experience various types of art and businesses, including graphic design, paintings, and sculptures in glass, ice, and clay. Brownlee has seen how the students are enjoying the experiences. They ask a lot of questions, and they are absorbing it all in, she said. They are never going to get these experiences in the schools. Now, if you go, what? The OCO Spark Art Auction is today through Saturday, February 24th, at the Art Farm, 252 North Park Street, Decatur. That concludes that article. And this week at the Herald and Review calendar, today, Country Line Dance Class, 7 to 9 p.m., Knights of Columbus, $6 per person. Open at 7 p.m. Dance is from 8 to 9 p.m. No sign-up necessary. Wednesday, February Birthday Celebration, at noon, Decatur Macon County Senior Center. And on Thursday, Natasha T. Miller, Performance Poet, 11:30 a.m. at the Richland Community College. And that concludes the Herald and Review calendar. And for those looking for a market report, the U.S. financial markets were closed Monday for President's Day holiday. As a result, there is no market report in today's Herald and Review. It will return on Wednesday. And with that, we are going to conclude part one of the Decatur Herald and Review for today, Tuesday, February 20th, 2018. We hope that you've enjoyed listening to part one. We're going to take a short break and ask that you will return to listen to us read part two. Thank you.